Everything in life has its own proper time. We are creatures of time, but we must accept the limitations that are built into the cycle of life.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, as we continue our series in Ecclesiastes today, we're going to come across in one of the passages here what I think is one of the most fascinating verses in all the Scripture. In fact, I would say it's one of my favorite verses in all the Scripture. Some of you are laughing about that, and you know why, because I tend to say that a lot about a lot of different verses and passages. But this one, though, it's fascinating what it says. And it's something I've contemplated and wrestled with a long time, and I'm sure many of you have as well. And now you're wondering, well, what verse is that? What concept is it? To which I will tell you, stay tuned. You're going to have to see. We're continuing then today in the book of Ecclesiastes with two ways of living. The preacher here, Solomon, is presenting life under the sun, and then there's life in fear of the Lord. Life under the sun is life apart from God, as if this life and this world is all that there was and is, versus living in fear of the Lord. So today then, we continue then by looking at the concept or the theme of time in Ecclesiastes. And we see that God has made everything in life has its own proper time. But we, as creatures of time, must then accept the limitations that are built into the cycle of life. Just a note, so that you may notice here, if you are reading along, we use the English Standard Version, the ESV. That's our typical Bible that we use. But, you know, I discovered something before, and I don't know why I didn't think about this at the beginning of this series, that I have noticed that when it comes to poetry, Hebrew poetry in particular, before we did the book of Job, and then also some, that it can be really tough for us to kind of understand what the author is saying because of the poetic way that things are expressed. And so there is a translation I call the New Living Translation. And so you will see that ESV in the Pew Bibles there. But we're going to put the New Living Translation up there because I think it does a good job of capturing the thought of this poetry and what the author is saying to us. So don't think that something is, you're losing your mind if you're reading along and say, that's not what's up there. That's why. So we're going to use the New Living Translation for this because of the nature of poetry. Now, for today then, we're looking at time, and time under the sun, that is time in this life, in this world, apart from God, versus time in fear of the Lord. The times and activities of life in fear of the Lord. Let's start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. The preacher tells us, "For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." What do people really get for all their hard work? "I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear Him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again. So what is this telling us about time? First, I want to look at time under the sun. The preacher's perspective of time under the sun, just apart from God, just considering life as we see it, as the events of life as they come at us. The first thing he observes is that there is a time for every activity. A wise person, of course, Solomon has also told us that the beginning of wisdom is what? Is the fear of the Lord. He says, a wise person, and a person who is wise in the principles of wisdom, also knows this, that part of wisdom is knowing when principles apply. A wise person knows the principles of wisdom, but also he or she knows when they apply. And there is a great example of that found in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, where we're told this. Sounds contradictory at first, until you think about it for a minute, what he's saying. It says, "Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation." So what? Don't answer a fool, or you'll become like them. Be sure to answer the fool, the arguments of a fool, or they'll be wise in their own eyes, their own estimation. Was he confused? Was he contradicting himself? No, he's saying what? There was a time for everything, right? There is a time when you just need to just walk away from a fool. Don't answer the arguments of a fool. How many of you have discovered that sometimes you get it, it's not worth it anymore. Don't even answer. Amen. And of course, there's a modern version of this. I've told you this before, and I'm getting a little better with this. You know, I'm a news junkie, and I love to go to, like, you know, watch news, but also news stories on the internet. And of course, one of the wonderful things, I think, about today with the internet is that we've given people the opportunity to comment on the news as well, right? And of course, people are always so kind and generous and respectful. By the way, if you don't believe in human depravity, look at comment boards on the internet, okay? I'll show you what's really in people's hearts. When you can hide behind the anonymity of some fake name or something like that, then, and people say what they really think, it's terrible, isn't it? But you go on there, and for a while, they're part of me doing, oh, I just have to answer this. And then I think, no, forget it. Don't answer a fool, or you become like them. On the other hand, does that mean you never, ever answer a fool? That fools' answers need to be challenged? Absolutely they do. So what? So wisdom is knowing the difference between the when it's time to answer and when it's time just to let them go. Right? There is a time for every activity under the sun. This is the essence of wisdom, is understanding that and recognizing the time for everything under the sun. So wisdom then is found in proper timing. So the preacher tells us here that every event under the sun has its own proper time, and he does it by putting forth a poem that envisions a wide variety of situations in life, demonstrating that there is a time for every activity under the sun. He says there is a time to be born and a time to die. with very, very few notable exceptions, everyone who has been born has died, right? What are the exceptions? Well, obviously the people alive now, but I guarantee you the time is coming, should Jesus tarry, the time is coming for all of us to die, isn't it? Well, what are the exceptions? Enoch? Elijah? So I guess what? You name your baby with an E. Maybe they have a better chance, of being translated immediately, but no. But even Jesus died, didn't he? There is a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to harvest. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build up. We got a little demonstration of that here in our church not too long ago. Remember we had that wonderful old bus barn in the back there? And you know what? There was a time to build that. It was built and it served its purpose. But eventually, it's not the time for that anymore. And so what? It was time to tear down. There was a time to build it and a time to tear down. It's a time to cry and a time to laugh. We know that's true, don't we? A time to grieve and a time to dance. Or here's one that's interesting. Some commentators wonder, what exactly is this referring to? A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. Well, I think it's likely that in the time and the culture of their day, this is referring to something to scatter stones. This was a tactic that was used then sometimes against an enemy or in time of war. You'd throw a bunch of rocks into someone's field to sabotage their fields, essentially. And then there's a time to gather stones, which was preparing a field for it to be used for agriculture. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace and a time to turn away. There's a time to embrace someone, right? And then there's a time when we need to turn away from that person. Wisdom tells us the time for that. There's a time to search and a time to quit searching. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. There are people in society, unfortunately, who don't understand or there's something wrong with them, that they're not able to throw things away. You know what I'm talking about? With hoarders. Sometimes I've been on some rescue calls before. And you go into these person's home, and it's an affliction of the mind. And there will be like little pathways, like this wide to get through rooms in the house, and everything is just filled with stuff. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away, right? It's time to tear and a time to mend. I think this is likely referring to a time to tear as in their culture when they would mourn. Sometimes they would tear their clothes, right? Generally, one doesn't go on ripping your clothes apart. But in mourning, they would do that. There's a time to tear, and then there's a time to mend. There is a time to be quiet and a time to speak. That's an important principle, isn't it? Interpersonal communication and in relationships, right? A time to be quiet and a time to speak. It's a time for love and a time for hate. Well, wait a minute, I thought the Bible says we're not supposed to hate and we're supposed to love. Well, we are called to love people, but we are also called to hate what? To hate sin and what it does to people. There's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. War is not a good thing. But sometimes, war is the only way to make peace. And the only way to make peace is to first go to war. So there is a time for every activity, and wisdom understands this. But we are also told, though, that life under the sun is burdensome, that there is no state of affairs that is permanent under the sun, that life's activities are ever-changing, never permanent, never enduring. And we're also told that the results of our labors are fleeting. The results of our labors are fleeting. For example, let me ask you, when you clean your house or you wash your car, does it stay nice and clean and shiny? No. It looks great for a little while, but then what? Inevitably, entropy sets in, right?
Kids,
there you go. Kids happen then too, right? So the clean things get dirty. The orderly things become disorderly. And so then it's time to clean again. Or how about mowing the lawn, by the way? Ralph does a wonderful job here. Where'd Ralph go? Where is he? There he is. Ralph does a wonderful job of mowing the lawn out there, don't you think? So yeah, there you go. And he's going to take me out back afterwards and have a word with me for mentioning him like this, I know. But anyway, but he does a wonderful job of that out there. But I guarantee you, as great as it looks today, you know what? In another week or two, it's going to need it again, right? Or how about anybody like to garden? Right? I know some of you do. We have these little things that like to pop up in our gardens, the nasty little things, we call them what?
Weeds.
And what do we have to do? We have to weed the garden, take the weeds out of the garden. Now, do you get your garden all planted, take out all the weeds, and now you're done for the season? No, you have to constantly do that, don't we? Anyway, these are just some examples of how the things that we do, that we devote ourselves to, that we put our efforts, our labor into in this world, it never endures. Nothing under the sun endures. And it's also true that we cannot control these things. And you see, because nothing under the sun, because our labors and our efforts under the sun do not ever permanently endure, life can seem burdensome, toilsome. And we can't control it either. There's only so much. You know, the older I get, the more I come to realize how little and little control I have over things, right? I think that's one of the illusions of youth, is you think you have greater control over things than you do. And of course, wisdom tells you that what? We do have control over things, but do we have ultimate control over things? Absolutely not. And of course, the older we get, the more we see how little control we truly do have over many things, right? So we cannot control these things. And it can seem burdensome, these efforts. But yet, God has given us labors to occupy us, and we cannot escape what God has done, what God has given us. And it can seem, again, under the sun, it can seem burdensome. However, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Under the sun, we see there's a time for everything, and that it can seem burdensome. But when we think of things of time and the times in fear of the Lord, we see that God has made everything beautiful for its own time. That even though life can be burdensome, God has made everything appropriate in its time. God is sovereign, and the sovereign Lord has arranged everything according to his orderly plan. God has a plan. There is a plan. And sometimes we don't quite quite understand that plan, but there is a plan, and God has made everything orderly and appropriate in its time. God knows what He is doing. I've told you before, when I was a young man, a much younger man than I am now, I thought that I knew better than God about how to run the universe. I had quite a few discussions and debates with God about that. And guess who won? God knows what He is doing. And He has made everything appropriate for its time. Now here's that verse. Remember I told you at the beginning that there was a verse that I find this one of the most fascinating verses in the Scriptures. And one that I have wrestled through. And it's this one right here in verse 11. Where it says, God, He has made everything beautiful in its time, but also He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Isn't that an amazing concept? That God, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. What does that mean when it says that God has planted eternity in the human heart, yet so that we cannot find out what He has done from beginning to end? Well, that is the scriptural answer right there to why, on the one hand, we have this longing for the eternal. We have this longing to understand the God's eye perspective of things, if you will. And yet, try as we may to understand things from God's perspective, we can't. And it ends up frustrating us. See, this verse, I came to discover, is why I ended up curled up in the fetal position on my bedroom floor one night many years ago as a young man trying to figure out eternity, trying to figure out all that God has done, trying to understand with my mind all that God has done, the way things are and why they are, and trying to have answers for all the great questions of life, trying to see things from God's perspective. But I couldn't do it. See, God planted eternity in my heart, but I was not able to find out what God has done from beginning to end. We have a longing to understand, but we can't. I think it also speaks to this fact that though we are mortal creatures, we recognize that we're mortal, don't we? Well, at least when we get a little older, we do. When you're a teenager, you don't think you are. But as you get a little older, you realize that we are mortal creatures, and yet we have a longing for the eternal. Because God has planted eternity in our hearts. We want that eternal perspective on our lives and all the events that take place under the sun. But we cannot see the whole scope of God's work, no matter how hard we try. See, this is why one of the questions that I have asked for some time, and this verse helps us answer that question, I think. Have you noticed, perhaps you have you noticed the premium that God places on faith in the Scriptures? From beginning to end, what is one of the major themes of the Scripture is the importance of faith. Now, faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is not believing something in spite of the evidence. No, faith is acknowledging our limitations and proceeding in recognition of our limitations and that we're not always going to have all the answers to our fullest satisfaction, are we? So faith is that confidence that we can have because of the good character of God, our good, good Father. So why is faith so important? Why does God insist on faith? And why does faith please Him? Well, why does God insist on faith? Because it's necessary. Because of our human limitations. And why does it please God so? So why does God require faith? Because it's necessary, given our limitations. And why does it please God so? Well, parents, does it please you when your children trust you and trust your intentions for them? Absolutely. So God has made everything in life appropriate for its time, and He has planted this longing within us to understand things from an eternal perspective. But yet we cannot see the whole scope of what God has done. And this is why God calls us to have faith. We hear, we know that God has a plan, and we want to know what it is, and yet we cannot fully know it or understand it. Well, what are we to do then when we're frustrated by our inability to understand everything that God has done? We're frustrated, too, sometimes by the burdensome toil of life. Well, we're given some very practical advice. We should enjoy the good gifts of God. Enjoy the good gifts of God. No, we're not going to understand everything. We have to accept our limitations. We have to accept that life can be burdensome and toilsome. But God has also given us good gifts to enjoy. Although God has given us this unfulfilled now eternal longing, He's given us the consolation, a gift to counterbalance that longing. He's given us the capacity to find enjoyment and a measure of satisfaction under the sun. It's a way of making the most of life as it is. So what does he say? Verse 12, I perceive there is nothing better than what? To be joyful and to do good as long as we live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So we're not going to understand everything. We're not going to have all the answers. But we choose to be joyful, to do good, and to enjoy the good gift, to eat and drink and take pleasure in our work. Choose to do these things because this is God's gift to us. Making the most of our lives as they are. It's funny. Friday evening, I was, shockingly enough, I was scrolling through the news stories, right? Scrolling through the news stories there, and I come across, now, isn't that funny? So here, I've got this, I know what I'm preaching on, I've got this all prepared and in my mind here, what I'm going to say, and I'm scrolling through the news stories Friday night, and I came across this one, and I got a kick out of this one here. But here we've been saying how, look, we're not going to understand all of God's plans, but He has given us good gifts about that we are to enjoy, nevertheless, to be joyful or cheerful. And enjoy the good gifts, food and drink, enjoy the good gifts that God has given us. And I come across this story then that says a 2,400-year-old mosaic, tile mosaic, was found in southern Turkey. And on it there's an image. I'm going to put it up there in a moment. And it says in Greek, "Be cheerful, enjoy your life." And that's it right there. Isn't that funny? And I wonder, was this person making an even deeper philosophical statement than it might appear? But here, this is from 2,400 years ago. So you see, that's a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread. And here's the skeleton. And it says in Greek there, "What? Be cheerful, enjoy your life." There's actually some wisdom in that, isn't there? Isn't it interesting that it's a skeleton? Why isn't it just a figure of a person and it says that, but it's a skeleton? Someone was thinking, weren't they? I wonder, were they influenced by the scripture here on this? I don't know. But this was found in a Greek called, this is again, this is about 400 BC. Interesting. Well, under the sun, we're not any different than that skeleton right there, are we? Under the sun. Well, in light of all of this, what are we advised to do? What are we told to do? Well, that therefore we should fear the sovereign God. We should fear the sovereign God. See, God's work and God's eternal plan shape all of reality. And we cannot understand it all. And it doesn't need any tinkering because God has made everything beautiful in its time. In contrast, though, our efforts, our labors are feeble and they're fleeting, and we're incapable of changing what God has determined to do. And God has done all of this so that we would fear Him, that we would reverence Him. Given the greatness of God and our limitations, we are to fear God. We are to revere the Lord. Well, that's one perspective of time. Time under the sun and time in the fear of the Lord. But you know, there's something else that happens with time we're going to look at in a moment here. As we go through time, we age, don't we? Our bodies age. How many of you have discovered that as you get older, things start going wrong with your body? There's inevitable breakdown, isn't there? So look what the teacher tells us in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. It says, "Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy. But remember that youth, with a whole life before you, is meaningless. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, 'Life is not pleasant anymore.' Remember Him before the light of the sun and moon and stars is dim to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper, and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Time under the sun. While it is good, it's good to live a long life. But remember, there will be many dark days. If you live a long life, you're guaranteed there are going to be dark days, dark times as well, aren't there? And the darkness of death is ultimately awaiting us all. And while it's good to be young, life under the sun, apart from God, ultimately is vain, is meaningless, is empty, unenduring. So it's good to live long, but there will be dark days. It's good to be young, but life under the sun is meaningless. And as you age, your body will break down. It's a very interesting poetic description of that, isn't it? One by one, the parts of our bodies just start failing us. Those things that have served us so well begin to fail us. And you also become more vulnerable then. It says, remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. You know, there was a commercial, well, I haven't seen it in a while now, but maybe you remember that commercial that was on for a while about those home systems, home medical alert systems you can have, where there's someone who says, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." You know, I used to laugh about that. You know, "Help, I've fallen and I can't give up," because, you know, it was kind of a cheesy commercial, very, you know, amateurish production. Well, you know what? Then I discovered, you know what, that, and many of you, you've already discovered this, that is a clear and present danger as one ages, isn't it? Falling. How common is it? Well, I'll tell you what, we probably have 2 or 3 rescue calls a week for someone who's fallen, an older person who's fallen and can't get up. That surprised me. Every couple of days or so, an older person falls and they need help getting up. And they're, unfortunately, they're injured sometimes from that. So you become fearful of falling. And you worry about danger in the streets. You feel more vulnerable. Little kids falling down is just like, there isn't a day that goes by that they don't fall down, right? And they just, pop right back up. But then you get older, you don't just pop right back up, do you? You're vulnerable to that. Yeah, something might pop out. Yeah, you won't pop up, but something might pop out.
Why do you break your hip?
You might even break a hip, right? Right, Merle? That's right. So you become vulnerable to things like falling, but also danger in the streets. You're not as confident now walking down the street. You feel vulnerable. In our day, it's not just a physical danger, but I was just talking with some friends about this the other day, that there are predators out there that like to take advantage of the elderly, right? Not just physically, but sometimes take advantage of them, what, financially, emotionally? So your body is going to break down. You're going to become more vulnerable. And guess what? Here's the best part. You're going to die. That's time under the sun. Your body's going to break down. You're going to become more vulnerable. And you're going to die. Well, isn't that... Okay, we're all dismissed. Go home now, right?
Thanks.
Well, is there a perspective on this? Yeah, there is. Young people, the preacher has something to say to young people. Young people, he has something to say to older people too. We'll get to that in another message. But for right now, our focus is on, in light of all of this, young people, and I see some of you right here today, enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Follow the desires of your heart. Do what you want to do. But that doesn't mean, hey, because I'm young, I'm just going to go out and do anything I want. I can sin and everything. It'll just, life is great. No, do what you want. Follow the desires of your heart. But remember, though, what? You must give an account to God for everything you do. So this is not a license to sin. It's a license to live, truly live. Enjoy your life. Do what you want to do, but remember, you are going to give an account for everything you do. Refuse to worry. If we start thinking about it, there's a lot of reasons why we can worry, no matter what age we are, right? There's a lot of reasons, things that can cause us to worry. Refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy, and then remember and honor your Creator. This goes back, I remember when I was a student, 18, 19 years old, in Chicago at Moody, and on the one corner of the building there where the bookstore is at Moody, there was an outdoor sign, and they would put messages up there. And I still remember this verse, this quotation from this verse about, remember your Creator in your youth. So young people, remember your Creator in your youth. Because all those other things we were kind of chuckling about them before, it's coming. So remember your Creator and honor your Creator now. So what? Everything in life has its own proper time. We are creatures of time, but we must accept the limitations that are built into the cycle of life. I want to conclude with a final verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about these bodies and what happens to these bodies. It says, we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. And while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. So I want to ask you, do you trust God through all the times of life? See, God does have an eternal plan, and we don't understand it, and it can be painful to us, parts of that plan, but are you trusting that He is sovereign and in control and that He knows what He's doing? He knows what He's doing in your life and mine. He knows what He's doing in this world. Do you enjoy the good gifts of God? See, this is a capacity that God gives those who fear Him to enjoy the good gifts of life in spite of the pain and the burdensome toil of life. And do you have the hope of the resurrection? You see that this is the young people, he said, enjoy your life, but remember and honor your Creator. Us not as young people, well, actually, even young people need the hope of the resurrection too. But we become more and more, the older we get, the more and more aware we become of the beauty of the hope of the resurrection, don't we? The hope of the resurrection is that God is making all things new, including these bodies, through faith in Him, faith in the Lord Jesus. In light of all this, wherever you are on the spectrum of life, the scale of time and life, we must make it our goal to honor Christ, to please Christ, knowing that we will give an account one day to Him, that we will be judged for all that we have done while in these bodies. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus, it's not a judgment for sin. That judgment, Jesus has paid the price of that judgment for sin. But we are stewards, managers, who will give an account for how we have lived for Him. So are we seeking to please Him, knowing that He will judge? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time here today that we have had to consider time. And Lord, we do not always understand everything that You are doing. But we know we can put our trust in You because You are our good, good Father. So Lord, we put our trust, we put our confidence in You to see us through the difficulties and the pain of some of the seasons of life. But Lord, we choose to be joyful. And we choose to walk with You in faith, to honor You, to adore You. You are the good gift. So we thank You, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.